Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct privilege and the wonderful pleasure of serving as your host today as we have arrived at this fine and lovely day. I appreciate so much all of our Bible students that join us throughout this hour of Bible study, and I pray that each day is enlightening and enriching to your personal faith, and that you might be able to share that with others. Please do not let the program die upon our own ears. Allow this program to be an energetic, enthusiastic way for you to spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. And even though we're talking about warnings, even though we're talking about beware, and take heed, these are still things that are important and beneficial to our society. I know that we don't like to talk about things such as this. We get weary of talking about things that that we need to watch out for, but at the same time, my friends, that mentality is nothing more than a satanic philosophy that says you don't really have to spend that much time in these things. And when you read your Bible, you will find numerous warnings to beware and to take heed. And so we're glad that you've joined us today. Study Hall for the Brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. And what we mean by that, if you're joining us for the first time today, is that we mean that we make absolutely no apology for what God said or how God chose to say it. If God said it, and He said it in this way, then we're not going to be presumptuous enough to apologize for what God said. So you're going to get the truth, you're going to get the whole truth, and my friends, we pray that you get nothing but the truth from Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. Now, as your host today, I pray that you are ready, that you are poised and prepared to study, to meditate. That's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. I see that we have several of our Bible students that are joining us from around the globe. Brother David Johnson's joining us all the way from Marlin, Texas. That's just right outside the Metroplex, or I should say Waco is just outside the Metroplex of Marlin. Good to have you, my brother. Good, solid gospel preacher. Brother, Sister Sainer is joining us from southern Oklahoma, from a congregation that I used to preach with and preach work with, and love the Sainers. They were a great encouragement to me while I was there. Brother Furness, I've known for some years now. He preaches in Purcell, Oklahoma, and I'm from just down the road from there and grew up from just up the road from there. Sister Ferris is joining us from Alabama, and then Sister Woodall, I see, is joining us from the northern Wisconsin, and glad to have you back. Hope that you got your relatives, or your relative to daughter to sister, I think, to where she needed to go to yesterday, and y'all are were in our prayers, and she is certainly in our prayers. Brother McDaniels from Pikeville, Tennessee, has joined us. Good to have you, Brother McDaniel, and always look forward to the wonderful comments that our fellow Bible students make. And then there's Sister Hoekstra from South Central Michigan, I guess would be the best way to describe that. A wonderful family up there in Michigan. Love the Hoekstras and all of that clan up there. We did a campaign up there several years ago and got acquainted with those good brethren, and have always appreciated the you know, some brethren you go through struggles with, and you engage in activity with, and there in Michigan. We have worked hard side by side, and always appreciate the Hoekstras and the good leadership they have for the congregation there. Sister Woodall reminds me that it was Crystal, her daughter, and a sister in Christ. That's where I got those mixed up. Well, your daughter is, and our sister is in our prayers. And so let's see, just a couple of notations here. I know that we'll have several other Bible students join us during our program today. That's the sweetness, I think, of this. If you're taking your lunch break, you can join us at the first part of the hour, the second part of the hour, or anytime during that hour. But I do want to take this time to invite you to the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road here in Nesbitt, Mississippi. And we meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, you might be asking, where in the world is where in the world is Nesbitt, Mississippi? Well, we're adjacent in the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. In fact, we're just about a stone's throw from the state line of Tennessee, and then Memphis on the other side of that. So we would love to have you, if you're ever in the Memphis area, to come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. Now, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, we want to welcome you to the program on that venue, and we want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their COVID times. I'm not necessarily sure as to when they are meeting at this particular time, but give them a call. I know that brethren across the world would love to have visitors in their assembly. Let's see here. What else do we have? I want to continue to remind you about the upcoming lectureship, January the 27th through the 31st here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures will be in 2021. 22 years in 2021. So we have 20, 21, and 22. Well, that's just the way the ball bounces there. Good to see Sister Higgins from South Texas and Sister Roberts from Michigan. And so good to have y'all with us in our Bible study today. Let's see here. What else do I have? I do have the phone number today, 405-428-2440. Excuse me. As I normally mention, we don't really emphasize anything in regards to the phone number throughout the program, but this is a live call-in program, and one of the reasons why we don't is due to the fact that we have so many outlets right now that we are engaged in with TGRN and Facebook Live, that most people end up joining us in regards to our comment section. Now, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 and you would like to give us a call and make a comment, then again, the number is 405-428-2440. And let's see here. Miss Mona says that a few bouts of garble. Man, I really hope, I pray that we can get this mess fixed up and that it doesn't disturb our lesson today. I thought I had that fixed, but evidently fixing the problem for one program does not fix it for the next program. But I pray that everything will be smooth on your end. So let's see here. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we will enjoy together our beautiful, I guess you could say, our theme song. Shall we pray? Our kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for thy love and tender mercy. We're mindful each day that thou art a great God, that thou art majestic and holy in thy nature and character, and that we certainly do not deserve to be here in thy presence, but through Jesus Christ thou hast made us acceptable. We appreciate so much our Heavenly Father for the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross, for the willingness that he would endure the shame, the humiliation, the brutality that he so endured in the scourging as well as the sacrifice upon the cross. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might always look to that cross as the fundamental foundation of our faith, and that we might live in accordance with the principles that led Jesus to the cross. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would be with all that it is our duty and privilege to pray for. We pray for our government. We pray for those within our government, our governors and our mayors, and those who are making decisions, our judicial individuals, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that righteousness and temperance and a recognition of the judgment to come might predate all of their decisions, and that we might have a peaceful life so that the gospel might go forth into this land. But we pray, our Heavenly Father, whatever comes our way, and whatever master that we might have in this life, that whether that master be good or cruel, that we might always act as a child of our Heavenly Father. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, you be with us as we open up thy good book, as we study it, and as we apply the principles therein. We're so thankful for all of these wonderful blessings. It's in the name of our Lord and thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we offer up this prayer. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere, ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ah, beautiful, beautiful song, wonderful encouragement for us to continue to walk on that road. I like that comment, Sister Woodall. Jesus is the reason we walk. Jesus is the reason for the road. And he is certainly the reason we walk. And I like that. That may be a good title to a sermon coming up here in Nesbitt. Jesus is the reason. He is the reason for the season, but he's the reason for all seasons, isn't he? But he's the reason for the walk, and he's the reason for the fact that there is a pathway that leads back to our Heavenly Father. I like that. Well, my friends, I'm glad that you've joined us today. This is radio worth listening to. Actually, it's a little bit more than radio. We have Facebook Live with us well, but it might not be worth viewing, but it's certainly worth listening to. And so today I want to turn your attention to the parable of the sower. Now, some have referred to this as the parable of the soil, but that's not the way that the Bible explains this particular parable. When Jesus explains this parable, he explains this parable as the parable of the sower. That's the way that that this is described in our Bible. And I realize that the emphasis is upon the soils here, but you can have the soil, but if you don't have the sower, the soil just brings up those things that are wild and not those things that are planted. And so the parable of the sower is important for us to consider in our Bible study today. And what I would like to do is for us to spend just a little bit of time looking at Luke's account. Now, also, we will pay attention to Matthew and Mark, Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8 will be our discussion material. But I want you to notice here, and I want to begin back in verse number 4. This is Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And the other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath an ear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So the parable, by its very nature, was designed both as a revelation and a concealment. That is the reason why Jesus says that he is speaking in parables. Now, verse number 11 begins the transition of the parable to the explanation. Here is the revelation in regards to this. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And so there's the first statement in regards to the parable. What I would like for us to do now is to look at Mark's account, where Mark says, beginning in verse number 2, let's back up to verse number 1. He says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside." So now we're introduced to where he was, "and there was gathered around him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, that is, his teaching, hearken. That would be that take heed, right? Beware, hearken, listen to what I have to say. Behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell upon good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, ask him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So this is an interesting addition here to what Luke has told us. Now Mark tells us that it seems that this parable is an aid to helping us understand all parables. And so then he goes on to explain that particular parable. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus begins, and it says, verse number 3, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Now notice, Matthew adds something that is very important to the whole. Why is Jesus emphasizing that he doesn't want them to see and hear? Well, it's not that he doesn't want them to see and hear. What he is doing is emphasizing that their mindset will not allow them to see and to hear and to be converted. So notice how he quotes. Now he says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, Notice he says in verse number 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So why do I refer to this as the parable of the sower? Because that's the way Jesus referred to it. And I'm all for calling Bible things Bible ways, or by Bible names, and doing things in Bible ways. That's what Jesus called it, and we're going to stick with that. That's a part of that study hall for the brave spiritual mind, is that we're going to call Bible things by Bible names, and so this is the parable of the sower. Now, I do want to go back to Luke chapter 8, and I want us to notice several things in regards to this particular parable and necessary implications that we need to draw from this particular lesson. The first and foremost is that we do need to focus upon the illustration here, and the illustration is about four kinds of soil. It's about the effect of the sower sowing the word and the heart hearing or not. See, some hearts are not prepared to hear the message of the gospel. Now, that preparation is their responsibility. If you will notice in the text, and I'm not saying that we should not till the ground, there are other principles that would apply to that, such as Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 10. God has always sent his prophets with the word of God often and early in order to try to till the hearts and to make the hearts of his people tender. You remember that even the work of John the Baptizer was to level the ground, level the soil, make the mountains low, make the valleys high, and make a smooth path for the Messiah. Tender, in other words, you might think of John the Baptizer as a tenderizer. You got some tough meat, you might pound it out. Sometimes you tenderize things by pounding them, right? Some of my brethren forget that every now and then you got to pound certain things in order for it to be tenderized. So the preaching against false doctrine may be a pounding, a tenderizing of the meat. But in Jeremiah's case, he was to plow it up. He was to make sure that the things were ready and for the final word of God. Yes, I love that statement, Sister Woodall, and you pound too much and you can destroy. You don't want to destroy a good piece of meat. You want to pound it just enough. But it does have to be. But now that's not the illustration here. I'm just saying there are other illustrations that would be a part of this. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase." But I want you to notice the tenderizing of the heart is the part of acceptance. If we do not hear the word, it cannot have an effect on our heart. If we do not accept there are certain principles that we have forgotten in our society, and what has happened is that they are so fundamental to everything that what we end up with is a hard-hearted group of individuals that will not receive the truth no matter what. I was talking to a preacher in Africa this morning, and he said, I live in a land that, or in a culture that accepts tradition over the Word of God. And I told him, I said, I live in that same culture. I like David, Brother Johnson says, cultivation takes skill. You know, and Brother Johnson, that is an excellent point. I planted a little garden earlier this year, and some raised beds, and I assure you that my cultivation skills are not what they used to be. Listen, we still got, before the freeze, we had some frost this morning, and before the freeze, we still had about 8 to 10 tomatoes on our, I think we had 4 plants, and I had some peppers that still came in. I know that, and so we pulled those all off, and I mean, it was okay, but I can tell that my cultivation skills are lacking a great deal, and I'm going to have to work on that for next year. And so skill is important in regards to that. And that is our job, though, in this parable, primarily is to spread the seed. Don't ever forget, regardless, you know, if you can have all the knowledge and skill, but if you don't plant the seed, that knowledge and skill does you no good. Now, let me give you a good example of this. We have a lot of individuals that are scholars in our world today, and they are noted for their expertise in understanding. They have PhDs. They teach in our universities. They teach in our schools. And they are known as the people that you should listen to. Now, the only problem with that is many of them have never actually practiced in their field. You see, if cultivation takes more than just a knowledge, it takes skill. Skills, in order to be maintained, have to be engaged in, right? Maintenance is very important. Sister Woodall says. And so what I'm saying here is that you can have all of the knowledge and skill, but if you don't practice, listen, a lot of preachers preach, but they don't practice what they preach. You see, that's really what we're talking about here, right? Jesus is saying that you got to get out there and spread the seed. And my friends, the church, I believe, I hate to say the church, because when you say the church, you're indicting everybody. But I will say in general, I don't find as much spreading of the seed as there used to be. Now, it might be that I don't see it simply because the results are so much in the first three rather than the last one of the soil. You see, sometimes it's not about the sowers, it's about the soil. So the emphasis on this parable is upon the soils, right? And so we have to, the point is, we have to get our hearts right to be receptive of the Word of God. Turn with me to James chapter 1, and in James chapter 1, it talks about in verse number 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Now, pay attention to the fact that you got to lay some things off in order to be proper receptive. And then he says, "And receive with meekness." So you've got to get rid of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and you've got to receive with meekness. So if I don't add meekness, I can't receive it properly. The engrafted word. So what is the purpose of the Word of God in my heart? It is designed to be engrafted in order to save my soul. And so here we find illustrated for us 4 kinds of soil. There's the wayside soil, which is a wayside hearer, right? And here, Satan comes along and he snatches the word out of their heart. In other words, it does not have time to germinate. It does not have time begin to put down any kind of root at all. It's laying on the top of a very hard heart, and the birds come by, it's easy prey for anybody else to come along with a philosophy and a teaching that they will accept, because they're not accepting that. Then there is the rocky ground. And by the way, I refer to this as the hijacked word. Satan hijacks the word before it ever gets an ability to enter into the resources of a person's mind. And when we talk about the heart, that's what we're talking about here, the mind, the soul, and the psyche that we spent so long in our series before and talking about. Satan just snatches it out of their heart. He moves it along. In other words, it is just completely rejected from the outset. Now, we have several examples of that, and I'll give you some in just a minute, because I have a whole section that I want to deal with before we get away from this. But I just want you to notice that this first soil is hijacked. It's stolen out of the hearts. Satan is a good thief. He steals the hearts he steals the word of God out of the hearts of men. But then there's the rocky ground hearer. And notice here that the rocky ground is checked by outside influences, right? They on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy. Notice that. Notice the difference between the wayside and the rocky. Okay, the wayside, there's absolutely no germination process at all. And let's see, Miss Mona says, sometimes I think we're too choosy on whose soils we approach. I think we do have to be careful of that. Do we not? Do we not have to say to ourselves? I've heard people say, "Well, they won't listen." It's not my job to determine. My job is to get them the gospel. My job is to sow the seed. Now, I may have to help them in those areas. I don't want them to be the wayside, and so I might have to help them by tilling up some ground. In other words, for example, if someone is in a difficult situation and I'm kind and I'm generous and I'm helpful, are not the good works that we do, are they not soil breakers? Do they not break up the soil when we are kind and generous? When we could be harsh, when everybody in the world is being harsh and snippy and mean, think about this time of, not just this time of year, I mean Thanksgiving to Christmas, but this time of 2020, and how people are treating one another. And, you know, an eye for an eye almost is the mentality. And I'm going to take from you whether or not you want from have taken from me at all. I'm going to make sure that I knock you down and that I'm mean and I put you in your place. You know, I heard a preacher mention this the other day, and I thought, you know, how carnal-minded can Christians be? And there a group of preachers that were talking and said, "Oh, that boy sure put him in his place." Well, what place would that be? What place do we want? At what place are we, by the way? Luke chapter 7 says we're all in the same place. We deserve a eternal death. And if we are servants, we are still I don't add anything to God. I can teach, and I can be the most excellent teacher in the entire world. And that still wouldn't add one thing to God. God is not made gooder. God is not made better. God is not made more efficient because of my work. Oh, God is praised and God is adored by our works, but I'm not adding anything to his nature or character or integrity by doing anything. I'm still an unprofitable servant. That's where we are. So we need to learn to talk Bible to one another rather than talking I'll put you in your place. That's That's a mindset that is carnal in nature. I don't want to put people in their place. I want people to understand the gospel. And yes, a lowly servant is who we are. And I don't think sometimes we realize that our words give us away, or they give away our hearts in regards to that. But here are individuals on the Rocky. They have heard the word of God. The word of God was sowed. They heard it. By the way, they received it with joy. But they have no root. They didn't put down roots in this. And by the way, we could have a whole lesson on what it means. And maybe we should one day have an entire lesson on what it means to put down roots in Christianity. Because there are some people, and you see these every now and then, you'll see an individual that is brought to the Lord's church. They are converted to Christianity. They are baptized into Christ. They have their sins remitted, and then they never show up on Sunday night. They don't show up on Wednesday night. They don't show up for Bible class, but you'll see them next Sunday, and they'll be there for Sunday, but they don't ever get involved in the work of the church. They don't really fellowship. They haven't given up the wickedness, the outlook of the world yet. And so they're not putting down roots at that particular time. And so it says, for a while believe, and in time of temptation, you see external circumstances, in time of temptation, they fall away. This is why we say so often, let's not just baptize them, get them into the water, initial conversion, and then leave them for themselves. Now, some people don't want the aid and assistance. You can offer all the help that you want to, and you're not going to get any response. Now, here in the time of temptation, they go back to their old habits, right? That's what he's talking, external items. And then notice here that there's the thorny ground, right? This is a growth process that would be checked by internal influences. So you have the word is hijacked. You have when pain comes along, so there's no root system. It doesn't really develop the way, and it's gone. And now you have individuals that because of pleasure, internal. See, this is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and things such as that. So he says, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, they go forth. Now notice here, they heard, they go forth. Here are individuals who have received the word of God. They're going out and they're proceeding. They're involved in the work of the church, but now you get to they're choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life. And so now they bring forth fruit. I do want you to pay attention to this, but they bring none to perfection. Now notice the progress here. The word doesn't even envelop or engage the heart in the wayside. With the rock, they receive it with joy and for a while. But here are people who not only heard, but they're going forth. They're engaging other people with the gospel, but their mindset is drawn back to, what does he say here? The cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life. So a man might have escaped that, but then there is a drawing power of Satan, a drawing power of the world that he goes back to. Now, so there is hijacked word. There is pain that stops or checks the word from developing into maturity in this person. And then there's pleasure that does the same. So external and internal forces are at work in regards to all of these items. But now notice here, then there's the good soil, and the good soil is productive. It's not just for a while, and it's not just, notice here, they bring no fruit to perfection. You can see the stalk rising. You can see the blooms take place upon this young Christian. I mean, they began to work and they're active in the Lord's church, and then all of a sudden, the pleasures of this world are too powerful for them. And so they bring no fruit. They bring fruit, but not to perfection. And then with good ground, they not only bring it to perfection, but notice that some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, when you look through all of these items. Very productive. By the way, there's not a condemnation upon those who are 30% producers, or upon those that are 60%, or those that are 100% are better off. Some people during their lifetime are going to be more productive than other people in the kingdom of God at different things. And there is no problem with that. Just keep producing. See, we got this. This has been my message to the congregation here. 2020 has been a wonderful year for this congregation. Now listen, we've endured really hard, difficult things, but this has been a good year. For 11 years we have been without elders. We now have elders. You see, fruit has begun to flourish. Oh, we lost some members this year. We had some difficulty and we lost a good number. But those that are stayed are those that are productive and those that are fruitful in regards to this. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We've learned and we've culled some of the individuals out, and we've been blessed because of that. There's been a resurgence of good works around all that. So there's good soil that's out there. It's our job just to keep sowing. Don't ever lose sight. Don't ever forget and take away from the blessings and the beauty of teaching the Word of God to other people. We got this. This is God on our side. We plant, someone else waters, or someone else planted, and we watered, and guess what? God will give the increase. Depending upon the heart of that individual, right? God will give the increase in regards to that. So I tell the brethren here all the time, we got this. God, if we are on God's side, then we got this. Well, I want you to notice here, and I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. I want you to notice the take heed aspect of that. That's really the series that we're talking about. So we need to take heed, verse number 18, how we hear. Well, what does that mean, take heed, how we hear? Turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse number 22. James, and we looked at James 1 and 21, right, where we receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a warning for us, right, that we would be obedient hearers. Such an important thing, not just to be a listener to the message of God, but to also be an individual who does what God says. Those individuals are, if you drop down to verse number 25 of James chapter 1, those are the individuals that are blessed by God are those individuals who put into practice. Notice with me Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 12 here. He says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon the obedient ear. A wise reprover upon a disobedient ear is not going to be described as earrings of gold and ornaments of fine gold. He's still a wise reprover, but it all depends upon how you hear, right? That's the important part here, is how you hear. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 13, and I want you to notice that we have to incline our hearts to hear the word of God. Chapter 5, verse number 13, he says, and have not obeyed the voice of the teacher, nor inclined mine ear to them that instruct me. How inclined is your ear to hear the word of God? Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 2, there's some beautiful illustrations he gives, and he says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. If thou criest for her as after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, now notice this, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So you want to be an obedient hearer, not a forgetful hearer, right? You want to incline your heart to hearing, not be dull of hearing, right? Hebrews chapter 5, they had become, I think Brother David mentioned this in the chat window just a few minutes ago, in Hebrews chapter 5, they became dull of hearing the word of God, and so he had to reteach them. What do you do with dull hearers? You reteach them, right? You got to go back to the fundamentals in order to, you know, dullness of hearing is a very interesting term. And again, I think this is something we could process an entire lesson on what it means to be dull of hearing. Not only that, but how do we help people that are forgetful hearers? How do we help people that are dull hearers? How do we help people? By the way, Acts chapter 7, on those who heard that wonderful scheme of redemption preached by Stephen that day, it says they stopped their ears from hearing that good message. They gnashed on him with their teeth, as they grit their teeth and grinded it toward him, and they rushed upon him and stoned him. But the illustration of closing the ears, I don't want to hear this anymore. You remember several years ago the illustration that was real popular? Oh, talk to the hand, because the mind ain't listening, right? That's kind of the ideal that we have here. We don't want to be that. We want to be a swift hearer, right? A swift hearer. One that when we hear the word of God, we're inclined to accept the word of God. Now think about individuals such as the Jews on Pentecost, Cornelius in Acts 10, the eunuch even in Acts 8, the jailer in Acts chapter 16. All of these individuals obeyed the gospel after just hearing one sermon. One sermon. In fact, in the Philippian jailer, it's so interesting. There are people saying you shouldn't ask people to obey the gospel until you've been through about 8 or 10 lessons with them. And I'm like, whoa, back up. What do you mean by that? In the same hour of the night, the Philippian jailer obeyed the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that work stops at that point. We got to continue to do the work, but guess what? All of these individuals were swift hearers. Isn't that encouraged in God's word that we would be swift to hear? Notice with me in James chapter 1 and verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We ought always to be swift. It is a good thing to be swift in obedience to the word of God. And it is never a good thing to be swift to do evil. Now, there are some that are ambidextrous in doing evil, Micah chapter 7 and verse number 2. They do it with both their hands and they do it with all the vigor of their might. But that's not how we learn Christ. My friends, hopefully we have done some damage. Maybe not damage, but maybe we have done some good today in looking at the parable of the sower and the admonition in Luke 8 and 18, take heed how you hear. How you hear is extremely important and will determine your eternal life or death. Well, my friends, God bless and have a wonderful day.